Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Spesslot from the Netherlands. And we love to talk about parenting and equip parents. Elena, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we talk about a very good topic, actually, which we haven't shared until today on the podcast, which is how do we as parents, caregivers, support those, the leaders or the authorities who are working close to our children, whether it's their school teachers, whether they're caregivers that are looking after them after school, or whether it's just anyone really who comes in contact with our children who have a authority. And I know, Dr. Scott, that you have worked with families, but also with authorities, right? And you know very well how that relationship, how important is for children to understand that relationship in general, to respect authority, but also how we need as parents to position that and how we can help them. So how would you advise parents, or how would you give them, word of warning when it comes to authorities or what people would they work with? What would be the things you would recommend to do and to be aware of?
I would say usually this problem comes to me in the form of a problem. I should say it that way. Other leaders and authorities in a children's life are very important. Mm. And teaching our children how to respond to them is very important. But here's how the problem comes to me, one of the ways. Mm. It comes this way. It says, the coach on my son's ball team's yelling at him, and it's unfair, so I'm going to pull him out of the league. He doesn't want to go out, but I'm going to pull him out anyway, or I'm going to go and confront the coach, and so on. So that's one way it happens. Another way it happens is that we got an older child who's got friends and going the wrong direction, and we're trying to get them involved with other leaders and authorities, like a youth group leader and so on. So that's another way this comes. Let's talk about the first one, because I think that sometimes parents are so quick to protect their children from leaders who do it differently than we do, even yelling. You know, we don't think yelling is a good thing to do with kids. But sometimes the real goal here is not to put our children in an ideal atmosphere, but to teach our children how to relate in a situation that is not ideal, where people are sinning or people are broken or whatever we're seeing in life. Now, I don't have a problem going to the coach and saying, hey, look, I don't think yelling at my kid's a good idea. But I also think we could say to our son, to our child, you know, your son is, you, son, are in a situation where your coach is yelling at you, and that's not right for him to do. But let's talk about how you can relate to him more effectively. I think that also is valuable. I remember a time my son Josh, when he was about 12 years old, I was his baseball coach, and my goal as a baseball coach was to be nurturing to the kids, and Josh and I would talk about it. He was a pitcher on the team, and so what we tried to do was evaluate the different coaches, evaluate the other leaders on the team. And we played some pretty nasty coaches. I'll tell you, they were yelling at people and so on. And Josh said, I never want to be that kind of a person. I remember one particular game, a final playoff game that we were playing against this team. And this other coach was just plain mean. And he was yelling at the ref and the umpire, and he was yelling at the players, and he was yelling at me and as the other coach. And so, you know, we talked about that. We ended up losing the game that day. But, man, we said, you know, I don't want to win if that's what it has to be. So we had this conversation. Okay, then here's the interesting thing. A few years later, my son was still playing ball. He's getting ready to graduate from Little League in the, the high school level. And I got a call that said, please make sure your son comes to the awards ceremony. I said, okay. So we went. We weren't even going to go, but we went to the awards ceremony, and they gave my son an award for sportsmanship, good sportsmanship. One person gets an award in the whole Little League for sportsmanship, and they chose my son to do that. He was a catcher at that time, and he would be talking to the players and encouraging them and so on. And people noticed that, and so he was nominated to be that person. But the unique thing about it that we always remember now is that the person who had risen to be the head of the league, was that mean coach we'd played before. Now he was the one giving out the trophies, and he's the one who gave that trophy to my son. And my son, wow, he was so encouraged that he was able to receive that gift. And it just was a statement that here's this mean dude giving a trophy for good sportsmanship to my son, Josh. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we want to help our children. You know, we want to help them in life to be able to deal with the authorities that they find themselves in. Sometimes we're quick to move our child to a different classroom because this teacher doesn't get my child. Well, maybe our child needs to get the parent. And so we spend some time teaching our children how to respond better to the teacher, not a parent, but a teacher in that situation. So I just think, let's be careful with other leaders and authorities that we don't overprotect our children, but we teach our children how to relate to people that they don't know very well and give them some solutions that would be most helpful.
Yeah, I can only agree with that. Although until very recently, and it's maybe perhaps because I have young children, I tend to be very protective, but I think sometimes we do have the tendency, and it's not necessarily intentional, but it's so instinctive somehow, to protect, to, you know, to take them away from the let's say the things that we consider inappropriate. But until recently, when I actually realized more and more, I start to realize more and more that the way we live in this world, we are surrounded at every point, at every time, by people who are living differently than us, acting differently than us. And it's just not possible to continuously protect our children by trying to create this bubble in which they live. So I think indeed it's harder perhaps for parents, but it's so much more sustainable, and also for the future, for them to actually put more effort into helping children deal with the environment around them and teaching them how to respond. And perhaps so many parents have trouble with it is because maybe sometimes they themselves don't know how to respond, or maybe they themselves feel broken, or they feel like they are not responding in the right way. So I think it's a test also for us as parents to think, okay, how do I lead here by example as well, you know? And I did hear so many times, and I think it's very true, that children don't just listen to us, to what we say, but they look at us and they end up actually mimicking how we are like, you know, what we are doing. So, what encouragement what kind of advice would you have for parents that feel that they cannot really be an example for their children because they feel that they themselves are not necessarily strong enough or appropriately wise to stand in the society? I mean, you know, we are different as Christians at the end of the day. So how would you say to these parents?
Well, I think the family's a laboratory for growth. Parents tell this to me all the time. They say, look, I can't teach this to my kid. I have my own anger issues. How can I teach him how to deal with his anger? And I said, you know, what a great opportunity. I mean, this is the family we're talking about. This is the place where we learn and grow. So share your struggle in this area with your child. If you have a desire for revenge, or you want everything to be justice mentality, and that's not fair and so on, that's a problem in life. It creates a lot of problems for parents who and children who want to balance the scales of justice, and they're looking out for things that aren't fair. It just makes an angry person. So once we realize that, then we can. It's just such a great lesson for children to learn. Wouldn't it be great for a child to say when they grew up, you know, I was really struggling with this area, and then I found out my mom was too, and so it really helped me in my growth to see that I was learning at the same time my mom was. Yeah. I just think that's what the family's all about.
Yeah. Yes. No, I fully agree. And I think it's just fine, absolutely fine, to be open and honest with our children, because we are sinners just as they are. And we can be honest and open to share with them that we're, you know, we're also on a journey, and we're also working to and asking for God's grace for us to become wiser. And it's okay for our children to sometimes point out to us if we're not appropriately speaking. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely fine. You know, I think it's better to be like that rather than just to have this expectation on ourselves and also on how we are perceived by our children, that we always have to be on our best behavior. That's just, you know, otherwise we just become hypocrites. And I think that's just, that's not the, you know, the way we want to be seen. But Dr. Scott, how do you recommend to deal with, if not running from the problem, let's say there are, how do we make our children stronger? Let's say there are situations which are really, you know, can be toxic for children. And it's, let's say there are real situations which are impacting them. If we are not running away, or if we are not taking our children out of that environment, is when actually, when do you recommend us to take our children out of that environment? And when do you, and how do you recommend, if we decide to leave them there, how do you recommend to make them stronger?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about my own father and how he worked with me.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say that if you're going to take your kid out because you feel like it isn't productive, then you can go ahead and do that. And I'm not saying you can't. All I'm saying is that at least ask the question, might it be good for my child to stay in this situation, learn how to deal with this? If so, then, you know, then we teach them something very different. And that's what we're trying to help them with. So let me tell you a story.
Mm.
I was in fourth grade. My class, the PE teacher came into the class to adjust the height of the desk with an Allen wrench. And he told everybody to be quiet, don't talk. But there was some talking going on my side of the room. It wasn't me, but he thought it was me. And so he came and thumped me on the head with the Allen wrench. And it hurt. And I was crying and I was upset about it. It was unfair. And I went home and told my dad. And I told my dad, you know, my dad was a powerful guy. And, you know, dad, why don't you get this guy fired? And, and my dad, I really appreciated his wisdom, because here's what he said to me after I settled down. He said, I wonder if you weren't talking, I wonder why the PE teacher came over to you and thought it was you. Maybe you've developed a reputation for yourself as someone who's goofing off. And I realized that's probably true. I had probably developed a reputation for myself, and he knew that. And so that's why he thought it was me. And so he said, well, here's what I would suggest. I know you're not guilty in this situation, but he said, why don't you do this, or think about doing this? He says, why don't you go into back to him and apologize for creating a reputation that led him to believe it was you, but tell him it wasn't really you. And I thought, well, that seems like I was empowered by that somehow at 10 years old. And I went back to school that next day and was sitting in class, and I saw the PE teacher go by. I asked my teacher if I could go out and talk to the PE teacher. She said, fine. PE teacher walked straight into his room, his office, and he's sitting down at his office. By the time I got in there, I went right into his office and stood in front of his desk. And I said to him, you know, I just want to tell you, I wasn't guilty yesterday of speaking. I wasn't talking, but I think probably I developed a reputation that led you to believe that it was me, but it wasn't me when you hit me on the head with the Allen wrench. And he didn't know what to say. He was just quiet. He was like shocked or whatever. And so I just turned around and left, went back to class. And I felt, you know, I felt like a big man at that point. I had just done something really valuable. It was meaningful to me. Well, later that afternoon in PE, I remember it very clearly. We're on the asphalt outside and everybody's doing push-ups. And when we're doing push-ups, he says, Taransky, come on over here. And so I got up and came over, and he says to me, I just want you to know, that was a very manly thing that you did this morning when you came to me. And by the way, I didn't thump you on the head with an Allen wrench. I thumped you with my finger. And I said, oh, wow, okay. And so I went back, and I was so pumped by that. I could go back and do a lot of push-ups. I was just, I felt like I had learned something that day. It's not just about justice. Sometimes we're in unjust situations, and when we are, then we can learn how to respond. Now, obviously, in those days, thumping a kid on the head was probably more acceptable than it is nowadays, and I'm not recommending that we allow that kind of thing to happen. All I'm saying is, let's just ask the question, is there an opportunity for my child to learn something in this unjust situation, or do I just need to go in and rescue him from it? Those are really good questions we need to ask in order to help our children learn the most from the authorities that we want them to be involved with.
Yeah, and I think it's really also important to be mindful of the type of child we have. You know, there are children who are more sensitive and genuinely more sensible, and perhaps need more support when they deal with people who are harsher and you know, they're more emotional. Maybe sometimes have a tendency to become over emotional. So I think indeed it's so important to just take more things into consideration, not just one, and not look at things in you know, from only one perspective, but more in a sort of a circle contextual way, you know. Yeah, Dr. Scott, thank you so much for that. I think that's so valuable. And yeah, I know many parents and many school teachers or many authorities, many coaches, like you mentioned, can at times get to lockheads. But I think as Christians, we are called to be wise. We're called to love each other. We're called to respond in a way that's loving. And I think we have the responsibility to teach our children to do the same. And if we do make mistakes, we should indeed apologize. We should ask for forgiveness, and we should really recognize when that happened. So, Dr. Scott, are there any ways in which we can help our children to become stronger? I don't know. Can we just actually put our children in specific situations at home that we can, you know, we can help them get, let's say, more resilient? Because I know, for example, there are so many parents who think we should let siblings argue, or we should not always intervene and be, let's say, very micromanaging them, because they need to find their own way to solve problems. I know there are many things out there that are giving different kind of advice for parents, or different kind of perceptions of advice, at least. What's your view, if you think about that, and what, you know, if you bear in mind also the different types of children?
Yeah, I would say that we don't want to leave children to fight it out and learn all their solutions on their own. I think parents parent because they can offer wisdom and guidance to children. But I do think that once we've provided that opportunity, we do allow our children to experience frustration. Because when they experience frustration and overcome that frustration, they develop confidence. So I don't think we rescue them all the time, but I don't want to leave them alone and allow them to suffer or to develop bad habits of just overpowering the sibling in order to get what they want, or somehow abusing power in a certain way or using mean words. That isn't helpful. So I do think we need to be governing the process while at the same time allowing our children to be in difficult situations where they really do need to solve their own problem. We guide them along the path, and when they're out of control or when they've lost, or they're off track somehow, then we pull them aside and we say, look, what you're doing is wrong. We need to try this a different way. Let me give you an idea. Are you ready to try that, or do you need to go take a break? Because you can't continue being selfish here, but I can give you an idea, a tool you can work with your annoying brother. He is definitely annoying. Yeah. I agree with you, but we can't treat him that way. So let's work together on this.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that applying some of these tips we have given parents could really be helpful, and as well as praying, having a time of devotion and praying for wisdom, patience can really be helpful as well. So we do encourage parents to take a listen to our other episodes. When in each episode we give many tips, and we do help parents to get more into the mindset of biblical parenting, and how we are sharing, how we are advising them to think about and to strategize about their children. So do go ahead and give that a list, those episodes a listen, more than 40 episodes by now. And we will be closing our episode soon, but not before, Dr. Scott. Are there any other thoughts you want to share with parents at this point?
I just say it is true that we want our children exposed to other leaders and authorities. So when our teenagers start questioning us and questioning our authority and leadership, it's often good to have them at youth group. I just think youth group is a great place for kids to be under someone else's leadership. When children get a little bit older than that and they're ready for a job at 16, 17, 18 years old, I think it's great because now someone else is telling them to get here on time, clean up your mess, and focus on your work. I just think other leaders and authorities are great tools that we want to embrace. When the police show up at the door because a child's done the wrong thing, having the child face the music is often a good thing to do. Other leaders and authorities have an impact on our children. We then can embrace the lessons learned from them and teach our child through that. It's just a powerful way to bring about change. So let's use leaders and authorities as a valuable tool in parent training.
Yeah. Yes, I fully support that. Thank you so much. And until next time, we wish you all a blessed summer. And we will be posting our episode, new episode very soon. Take care and God bless.